I want to talk to you about something. I've spoke on this before, but this is a little bit different. When the Lord was showing me this as I was going through my notes, going through some study, going through some scriptures. And I want to help you spiritually with some spiritual warfare and understanding some things. I want to just preach a message here called How the Saints Make Satan Scatter. And I want to help you with that. Amen. I believe it'll be a blessing to you if you listen to some of the directions that God has in the scriptures for us. Because, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have a real battle. We have a real enemy. And he has a real kingdom. And he's really wanting to fight us. And we've got to follow the word of God when we go to war. Amen. When we war a good warfare, we've got to follow the word of God. So I want to help you with what the Bible says. And show you some how we make Satan scatter, how we make Satan leave us alone. Amen? And in that continual warfare that will come up. So let's read James chapter 4, and then we'll pray. Verse number 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now there's a Bible principle right there. Okay? That you should live by right there, that you should understand. God resists. That means God wars against. I've preached a message on that called God Wars Against Your Pride. God resisteth the proud. That means God is opposed to the proud. God wars against the proud. God wars against our pride. He will stand up against our pride. Amen? But giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Listen, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we need you this morning. Lord, we need your help. We need your power. We need understanding from the scriptures. Lord, we need to look at this and understand how the devil will flee from us and how we can make the devil flee from us. Lord, that you've given us that power. Help us to follow your way, Lord, as we war a good warfare. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it's an amazing thing to think about, really, if you think about that God's people can actually, by his grace and power, make Satan flee. You know, when you and I think about that sometimes, Satan is more like the boogeyman in the room, really, because a lot of times he has us afraid for no reason at all. Do you understand that? When a child of God understands the authority that God has given him under the blood of Jesus Christ, and because he is a child of the King, and because he is an heir, amen, and because he is a joint heir with Christ, and because Christ has secured that victory, when a child of God understands that, how great a power he has and boldness he has to stand for the Lord, when he understands that Satan roars at us many times, and we fall for it, and we become fearful in our minds and in our hearts over his roaring. When the Bible has a very plain and simple way for us to secure, that the victory's already been secured, for us to have that victory against the devil and his kingdom. You know, I fully believe this, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Brother, I've heard other brothers say it too as well. When you join this church, you're joining in the battle. You can have the devil come after you. He didn't like this church. I'll tell you that right now, and I'm glad he doesn't like it. If he liked it, it wouldn't be a very good church. And by the grace of God, he hates this church, and God has made this church stand through much adversity. And his desire is to shake the saints, like I've preached about before. His desire is to do that. But you think about this. The devil, we are in constant warfare. To serve the Lord and to stay true to Christ when we have an enemy that is, he's ever lurking about, seeking whom he may devour. How can we, as the children of the Most High God, make Satan scatter and leave us alone? Well, listen, it's important for you to understand again, I will put you in remembrance of these things always, that the battlefield is always the mind. It is always the mind and the heart. If Satan can defeat you in the mind and in the heart, then he has the victory. If you and I lose the battle in our minds, Satan has us right where he wants us. But the thing you have to understand is that Christ has already promised us the victory. We forget that. These things so soon slip out of our reach and out of our minds and out of our hearts that we forget that God has already given us the victory. He's already promised us the victory. Christ not only promised the victory, but he has secured the victory. Already secured it. Guaranteed it. Praise the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Worship thou him. Christ came, was manifest to what? Destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. And he did just that. He was victorious. So how do we do that? I'm going to go through some things with you. Just some simple things that I want you to understand. Number one, the Bible says to resist the devil. Resist him. We're going to talk about submitting to God, which is the number one thing, by the way. But I'm going to go in this order for a reason here. The Bible says to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I want to talk to you about this concept, not about the order of things. I'll get to the order in a second. But it says to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But this isn't the only time we hear this. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. The verse that is speaking of Satan and his work, what does it say? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'm just curious. If you were all sitting here right now and a lion came roaring through here, would that scare you? Well, it would me. I'm not too much of a man to admit that, yeah, it would scare me. Right? Well, that's what Satan does. He tries to bring fear. That's what a roaring lion does. You ever been afraid? You ever had fear? Of course you've had fear. You ever had doubts or fears? Well, yeah, when a lion's roaring next to you, it gets a little scary. But the Bible says, as a roaring lion, he's not the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a fake. Do you understand that? He's a fake. That's why he comes as an angel of light. He's a fake. That's what fakes do. Get it? That's what they do. He says, be sober. Man, you better be alert. You better be awake. You better be understanding. Be sober in this world. 8 times, be sober, right? Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking to devour. Well, what does it say here? Look at this. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. How do we resist him? Steadfast in the faith. Right? That's how you resist him. Now, we're going to explain that further, all right, and explain the order of things. But I want to talk about resisting him first. It says, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Listen, you know what Satan does to you? Now, I want you to listen to me. Everybody look up at me here. I don't care if babies are crying. Don't bother me a bit. I want the big babies to cry. They'll pay attention better. Now, listen up. The Bible says this. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Why does he say that? Because you have this idea in your mind, and you get this idea in your mind, and I know you do. Why do I know that? Because I get it in my mind sometimes. That roaring lion is in the room by myself with me, and I'm the only one going through anything. What is that? That's to isolate you, to destroy you, to devour you. That's how he works. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he isolates you, and you get your mind. You think, nobody's going through what I'm going through in my life. Nobody's going through the challenges. I know what you're thinking in your mind right now. You're thinking, I have this trial, I have this challenge, I have this problem, and nobody in this world is going through what I'm going through. Yep, got you right where he wants you. Yep, got you isolated, got you stuck up. He's roaring at you. He's sitting in his room, and he's roaring at you right now, and you're falling for it. And that's why Peter said, hey, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, I'm not preaching for a week. I got to get on it right now. All right? I need some water. I'm going to need it. Please, Lucius, find me some water, please. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing. Well, how do we resist it? Part of the resistance is knowing that our brethren are going through the same things. Knowing that the challenges are there. Knowing, thank you. Knowing that there's a war there. Knowing that the battle is there. Knowing that all your brethren go through it. The devil's working on your mind. He's working on your mind. He's working on your mind. He's working on your mind. That's right. He's working on your mind. How do I know that? Because he works on my mind. And that's how his kingdom works. And that's what he does. And he wants to isolate you so you're the only one. It's just you. It's just you. So what are you doing? In your mind, you're just going it alone. Right? Yeah, he got Elijah isolated. Elijah's like, man, it's just me. It's just me. There's, wow, that was, whew. It scared him, man. It scared me too. Well, he was a little scared. Anyway, no, he wasn't scared of my preaching. So
that'll go online.
Okay, maybe he is. No, I'm just kidding. But what is it? Look what it says here. It says here, whom resists steadfast, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplishing your brethren in the world. You're not the only one. Stop thinking you're the only one that has a trial in your mind. So you isolate your little self. You don't talk to your brethren. You don't ask for prayer. You think you're the only one. You don't get any help. You block yourself off from everybody else. And Satan's just devouring your mind. He is absolutely devouring your mind. And pretty soon, man, you're done, man. You're in a box by yourself, and you're getting ate up. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. That's right. What's that? Yeah, then you start looking at the authority figures and say, well, it's their fault. That's how it happens, friend. I know. Believe me, I know. What does he say here? Look at him. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It says to resist. What does that mean? Literally to stand against, to withstand, hence to act in opposition or to oppose. You're to strive against Satan. You're to endeavor to counteract all of his activities, to defeat, to frustrate, to baffle, to disappoint, to make opposition. So we are twice told directly to resist him, to fight him, to frustrate his plans. And that's why he hates this church. Because it's constantly opposed to his kingdom. Yeah. He had this town wrapped up solid. And I'll tell you what, he'll use those distracted techniques. You know what else? You know else? The truth of all these issues. Things like 501c3 and all those issues. He didn't want them out there. He doesn't want a church championing that issue and bringing it out to the... And why? Because it's a challenge to his authority. It stomps on his ground! It's an authority issue. And he knows it. Better believe he knows it. And he hates it. Because it challenges it. The Bible says that I'm to resist the devil, to fight him, to oppose him, and he will flee from you. When I say the devil, I don't mean only just him, but I mean the representatives of his kingdom. The devil and his devils, the principalities, he is the prince of the power of the air. He controls that realm. He's the god of this world. I'm told to resist him, to fight him. You know, that may be an intimidating position to be in sometimes, but it's what God has commanded us to do. Not to fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. So then I think it would be profitable for us to look at how we are to resist him. Because God tells us in his word and gives us exact instructions of how to defeat Satan, how to defeat him, how to stop him, how to make him go away. By the way, I want to warn you of something. Write this down if you're taking notes. If not, take a mental note of it. You cannot defeat him by running away from him. If you run, he'll chase you down. You ever try to run from a lion? You don't get too far, do you? You start running and sprinting away from a lion, if he comes roaring in this room, he's going to go after you. He's going to go after you. David didn't run from the lion. He turned around and he fought him. Amen. You can't run. There's no armor for the back. You can't run from Satan. You can't run from his kingdom. You can't reason with the devil. You don't reason with the devil. You resist the devil. I have nothing to say to him besides resisting him in the faith. Steadfast in the faith. That's all I have to say to him. I have nothing else to say to him. Amen. Satan seeks to use fear against us. If you don't face your fears head on, then you will be overcome by those fears and defeated. You have to face them head on. If you don't, you'll be defeated. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound. Amen? Sound mind. Can't run away. You got to fight. You got to fight. Can't run from the devil, man. It's not going to work. He'll chew you up in your mind and spit you out, man. But that's his goal, is to scare you and intimidate you so you don't fight. You know what bullies do? Bullies keep bullying until you punch them in the nose. After you break their nose, they walk away. 9 times out of 10, when you have fights and somebody is attacked out on the street, or even armed robbers come after somebody, armed robbers don't like resistance. When they get resistance, they usually run. That's what they do. Right? The devil's kingdom is the same way. If you run from them, you ever seen a dog? If you don't stand your ground with a dog and you run away from a dog, man, they'll chew your leg off. You turn around and you growl louder at that dog. And you look at him like, I'll eat your face off and spit it back at you if you mess with me. I'm not kidding you. Yeah, they do. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep. 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 Try to go after you. Yep. Yep. Yeah, when you have a bully like that, when you fight back, a lot of times they'll leave, they'll run. That's how Satan is. He's a bully. He huffs and he puffs, but he can't blow your house down. He just thinks he just wants you to think he can. Right? Because Christ has secured the victory, so we don't have to run. We're going to get to that, though. We'll continue on. All right, next. Number 2, we must submit ourselves to God. In the order of things, submission is first. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Notice the order that is given. It does not say resist the devil and submit to God. It says submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Absolute and entire submission to God will give victory against Satan and the ability to resist him. Absolute. So what does that mean? That means if you're holding on to any sin, if you're holding on to any pet sins, if you're holding on to anything you know God is not happy with, and you continue to hold on to that, you are not submitted to God. You leave an open door for the devil to come in and to attack you because you've left the door wide open. 9 times out of 10, a locked door will keep an intruder out. Somebody that's looking for a place to get in, the easiest place for them to go is a place where a door is open. When you lock the door, most criminals don't try to get through it. They want an easy victim. Think about that. Think about the principle of that now. How that works. When you leave the door open for Satan, he's going to walk through. Right? It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. By the way, did you know something? I'm going to go through these with you. But did you know that word, submit yourselves, that phrase, submit yourselves, I typed that in 7 times in the Bible. Submit yourselves. It's not an accident, is it? Oh, those numbers, you know, they don't mean anything. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know that the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Look what he says here. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth us and laboreth. Listen, don't pretend like you've submitted to God when you ignore his order. When you ignore his church, when you ignore the authority of his church, when you ignore the example that God has given, don't pretend. Don't pretend that when you're disobedient to the truth that you're actually submitted to God. It's the first way to get yourself in a lot of trouble and have the devil come after you. He said that you submit yourselves unto such. This is a godly submission to the church and those that labor in the Lord. The next time we see this is Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. As unto the Lord. That's a big one, friend. I'm going to tell you what. You want to have some problems, let the devil get an open door. You have a problem with submission in your marriage. You're going to have some problems. The devil's going to use that. If a man's not leading and a wife's not submitting, you're going to have some issues. It just leaves an open door for the devil. It says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Colossians says the same thing. Don't pretend to be a super sold-out Christian when you're not submitted to your husband. If you want the devil to get in there and start a fight and hassle with you more, then continue in rebellion to God's order and you'll be attacked. That goes for any order in the home, children to their parents and so on. A heart that is not truly submitted to their parents or a wife to a husband is a heart that is going to be afflicted by Satan much easier. Colossians 3:18 reiterates the same thing again, but adds, as fit in the Lord, in case some devilish man thinks he can get away with anything he wants to. God puts a requirement on that, puts a condition on that. And then Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Yeah, it is. Submit yourselves. You know, there have been scores of phonies that pretend they are submitted to God while living in rebellion to godly Christian authority in the church. Then they're submitting to God like we talked about, of course, which is paramount to everything. 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your own masters with all fear, not only to the good and to the gentle, but also the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that like that you should follow his steps. Now listen, he explains here that there's a submission to civil government and the authority that God has given them. But that is not there's not 100% loyalty. That's only to God. Okay? The Bible's very clear that between good and evil is what you're to submit to. You're not to submit to the evil of civil government or where they have no authority. You're not to submit that to them, because otherwise then you're not submitting to God. You're recognizing man over God. And God will not. You cannot serve two masters. So there's a godly subjection to civil government. Now, I've seen street preachers and some others out there, and they get a lot of trouble, and it's not for righteousness' sake. It's because they're belligerent fools. Now, and they hate civil government. They hate any civil government. And they believe that they have a mandate from God to be a jerk out there and to do whatever they want to do and talk whatever the way they want to civil government. And God does not honor that. God does not honor that activity. What does he say here? He says to honor the king, right? Fear God. Look at the order. Fear God. Honor the king. Right? Still in there, isn't it? That doesn't mean you can't rebuke or reprove. But it still means that there's some respect. That we honor, that we do the things the right way. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. That smacks in the face of this whole taxation is theft thing, that nobody thinks that any amount of taxes is that they don't have to pay any amount of taxes anytime. No, that's not what it said there, is it, Brother Finney? That's not what it says there. No. No. No, that's not what it says there. Okay? And they turn that into a money tax fight, and taxes have been going on ever since civil government. And they're going to continue until the Lord comes back. Amen? And he sets up his perfect kingdom. But the point is that there is a rendering to Caesar. And there's something that goes to Caesar. And when I've noticed that the men that get into a fight with that and want to fight that, yeah, they're distracted. Yeah, and you know what? They have a rebellion to all authority. That's not what we're preaching here. And if you want to get in trouble, listen, God will use that. I'm not for every tax that's out there. I stand against most of them. Okay? But the point is, at the end of the day, it's enforced by the end of a gun. So you can choose to this day whom you will serve. God or mammon. Money ain't worth dying for. I don't love it. Yeah, I don't love it. I'm not covetous. I don't love it. I ain't dying for it. I'll die for Jesus. I ain't dying for dollars. Amen. Tell you, friend, that's the truth. And these guys get themselves a lot of trouble, and they get distracted, and their message gets messed up. And then guess what? The devil comes in there, and nobody listens to him anymore. But a kook fringe of people. Because they're unhinged, not balanced, off, unstable, and they're rebellious to any authority. It becomes, when you follow their line of thinking, there's no pastor they can submit to, there's no church they can submit to, there's no order they can submit to, there's no law they can submit to, they'll go it alone. Yep. I've seen it. It's not a biblical balance at all. Right, and then we get labeled in with the people that act like that, and that's not our position at all. I believe Caesar has a proper order. He has a proper respect, and Romans 13, due respect and honor that is to be given to civil government. Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that because God instituted civil government. He laid it down. He told them to govern. God gave them authority to. Genesis 9. Right there. So, anyway, it didn't take long for man to pervert that. Genesis 11. It didn't take long for him to pervert it, did it? But that still doesn't make it invalid. We don't obey the wicked over God. But it's still there. The point is, you say, why is it, what's the difference to spiritual warfare? Because I'm going to tell you what, you get yourself messed up on these things, and you're going to open yourself up for the devil to attack you. There's a protection in God's church. God gives a protection to his church. When you respect God's order, he protects you. No matter how many of them devils want to take you out. And I can tell you, I'm living proof to that. Yeah, in the beginning, yep. All of it's foundational. All those things are foundational. That's right. Yep. It's funny because I'm not sure if I even read that part of your book, but then I preached a message on it, and it was exactly what you said in your book. At that time, I had not read that portion of God Betrayed, and it was exactly almost verbatim of what you taught in there. And then I had some other guys say, well, God didn't institute civil government in Genesis 9. I'm like, what are you reading exactly? Right. Right, so the principle's there, but yeah, it's just ridiculous. Okay, so submission, godly submission is what we're talking about. You want to fight the devil, you be in godly submission. I'm telling you, if you think you can fight the devil and not be under the wing and the hand of God in a protection, you are going to get ate up. You can't defy God's order and expect that God's going to protect you through that. He's not going to. God's going to let you have it. Then again in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble. Giveth grace to the humble. Hubba bubba. Anyway, no church bloopers. Be clothed with humility, right? Look at that. By the way, that's a key to the next part, but be clothed with humility. God resists the wars against that pride. That's the second time you see that, where God wars against your pride. I'm telling you, friend, God hates pride. Right? Turned an angel to a devil, didn't it? I'm telling you. What do you think it does to you? Makes you look like a devil. Makes me look like a devil when we act like that and we walk in pride. See what it says here? It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Let's start very careful how we do things here now. Because there are elder Christians in the faith. Amen. I'm telling you. And that's why you that are younger have to respect that. But then it says, yea, all of you be subject one to another. If any of these elder men, or as a pastor, if we walk around in pride ignoring anything, if you make a valid point on something or something that they come up, then we would be in trouble. You see what I mean? Because it says, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Right? Amen. So then the only true way we can fight the devil is to submit to God first. Romans 6:11, likewise, go ahead and turn there, Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Amen. That's that yielding to God, that submission, that yielding. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is that entire, God, by the way, God wants your entire submission. In everything. In everything. Amen? God wants your entire submission. Number three, after we have submitted, we must stay humble. You want to fight the devil? Just stay humble. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. One man said it this way. He said, which is done when men before the Lord and from their hearts and in the sincerity of their souls acknowledge their meanness and unworthiness, their vileness, sinfulness, and wretchedness, and implore the grace and mercy of God in Christ, as did Abraham, Jacob, Job, Isaiah, Paul, and the publican. And when they walk humbly with God, acknowledging they can do nothing without him, owning their dependence on his grace and ascribing all they have and are unto it. Listen. There's a lot of men that want to accuse you of many things and will accuse you of many things in this life. But God knows who you really are. And when you get into that prayer closet and you humble yourself before God and you beat your chest and you say, Lord, I'm unworthy and I know it. Amen? When you humble yourself before God in prayer and you come to God and you humble yourself before his throne. Amen. Those who submit patiently to the dispensation. This is what it means to be humble. Those who submit patiently to the dispensation of God's providence, he lifts up. Those who lift themselves up, God thrusts down. If we humble not ourselves under God's grace, listen, he will humble us under his judgments. Those who patiently submit to him, he exalts in due time. If his hand be mighty to depress, it is also mighty to exalt. The Bible clearly says God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. So then God will war against that pride, but God is attracted to that broken and contrite spirit. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. It is not a little matter to God when he sees a broken and contrite heart, a humble heart. Listen, just because we are right doesn't give us the right to be proud of it. You can be right and be proud of it and be wrong. Amen. I see that in a lot of street preaching. I honestly do. When I watch, when you see the videos and you've been around it, you watch it, you see it. There's men that are preaching the right thing, but they're very proud of it. They're very proud of what they're saying. So instead of warring against our pride, God will be attracted to our humility and help us against Satan's attacks. That act of submission is what humility really means. It's part of the act of submission. In ethics, freedom from pride and arrogance, humbleness of mind, a modest estimate of one's own worth. Humility consists in lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. Self-abasement, repentance for sin, submission to the divine will. And that's when it's hard, not when it's easy. It's tested when life is hard, not when you get what you want all the time. It's very easy when you get what you want all the time to be submitted to God. But when God pulls it away, can you still be submitted? Let me ask you a question. If God doesn't give you what you want, will you still glorify him? Is he still right, or you complain against his providence and tell him he's wrong? Ask yourself that. Do I complain against God's providence because I don't get what I want? It's pride. It's pride. Amen. So it's pride. Because God doesn't give you what you want, you think it's okay for you to complain against Him. That He's wrong. See, I would never say that God was wrong. No. You would just act like it. You wouldn't say it. You wouldn't dare say it. But you sure do act like it. You and I sure do act like it, and we walk around, and if we don't get what we want, we're in a cantankerous attitude or a cantankerous mood, and we're not happy, and we're not pleased, and we don't see all the blessings of God. Amen. Man, you thought, man, spiritual, how to make Satan flee? What's going on? You probably want to run out of here right now. You're wanting to flee. It's okay, sit down. You'll be all right. Just take your medicine. God will do you some good. Amen? It'll help you. We have to humble ourselves. It's a sign of a continual submission to the Lord. And that means under trials. And that means under the weight of things that don't go our way. Because I'm going to tell you what. If you don't think Satan can't see your discontent and won't use that against you, better think twice. Yeah. And exactly, he'll make you think you're justified. Things are wrong. Things are tough. Things haven't gone the way that I want them to go or the way that I should think them to go. So I'm justified to be. Doest thou well to be angry? Right? Look at that gourd, right? Right? He thought he did well. He goes, yes, I do well to be angry, even unto death. He's like, kill me. Go ahead. Go ahead and kill me. See what I mean? I'm going to tell you what, man. I'm glad I'm going out of town, man. You're like, I'm glad you're going too. When you leave me, can you cut this short? Get out of here, preacher, will you? Amen. This is what helps. This is that good medicine that'll help you. Amen. I know you want me to preach on those queers, but this will help you. Amen. That was last night out on the street. You want Satan to come in? You don't be humble towards God. You don't humble yourself under His will, to the divine will of God. That means that I bear up patiently. I'm long-suffering, and I believe that my Heavenly Father is right no matter what happens to me. Even when God says no. Yep. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. That's right. Amen. That's a tough one, man. I've been there. Next, we're told to stand. This is very important. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, please, verse number 10. Three times in this text we are told to stand. Not run. There's no armor for the back. After you have submitted yourself to the Lord, after you've humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God, you must stand. Stand your ground. Right? God has His own stand your ground law. Amen? This is God's stand your ground law. You stand your ground. Satan is a master of topography, right? He's a master of the land. He surveys the land and he looks around at it. And he wants you to give up your land. The land that you're standing on, he wants you to give that up. That's why you think the Bible says, and give no place. Nope, this is mine. You ain't getting it. You get out of here. This belongs to God. I ain't moving. You get out. Yep. Amen. By the way, it doesn't say to provoke the devil or bring against him a railing accusation, but it says to stand. Says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Got to put the clothes on. Can't run around naked and fight the devil. You know, what's the sign of nakedness? What's that sign? Right. What happened to the saint that God saved? Clothed and in their right mind. You want to fight? You run around spiritually naked. You run around out there. What did Jesus say about that church of Laodicea? What did they not know? They were poor and blind and naked. You got your bodies, your books, and your buildings, but you got no armor on. You got no power. You got no clothes on. You got no gospel gear. Amen. You're in trouble. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because it says here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Again, what does he say? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. You can't run. You got to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You know what? You know, it's your loins. It's where your power, your strength comes from, right? Your loins, right? That's where the strength, that's the power, that's the core, right? The core is the truth. That's why you can stand. What is Satan? Who is he? The father of what? Lies. What do you have? What is at the core of your being as a child of God? Truth. What does God desire? Thank you. You see that? Truth in the inward parts. So my core and my strength comes from the truth. That's why I can stand against that serpent. Because I have the truth. And he is a lie. And I'm not his slave. Amen? Because I have the truth. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We're told here to stand our ground, that we need not run from Satan, but stand. We have no option to become passive, but we must be aggressive. You know, I was going to preach a message. I haven't preached yet. I'm going to sometime. It's called A Passive Mind is Raped by the Devil. I know it sounds bad, but it's true. It's that raw, uncut truth that when I die and go to heaven, someday somebody may appreciate. But not, I'm not talking about you guys, but I'm talking about others. They might understand it better when I'm dead. But it's just, I know that I live in an age where you have to wake people up. With pure truth. And a passive mind. You cannot keep a passive mind. You must always keep an assertive conscience, an assertive mind, meditating and focusing and keep it. Because if you allow it to wander, the devil comes in. Quickly. Quickly. Quickly comes in. What did he say? He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And stand. Adam Clark said this. He said, prepare yourselves for combat, having your loins girt about with truth. He had told them before to take the whole armor of God and to put on this whole armor. Having got all the pieces of it together and the defensive parts put on, they were then to gird them close to their bodies with a girdle, such as an ancient warrior used. They were to have truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth of God. Unless this be known and conscientiously believed, no man can enter the spiritual warfare with any advantage or prospect of success. By this alone we discover who our enemies are and how they come on to attack us. And by this we know where our strength lies. And as the truth is great and must prevail, we are to gird ourselves with this against all false religion and the various winds of doctrine by which cunning men and insidious devils lie in wait to deceive. Truth may be taken here as also sincerity. For if a man be not conscious to himself that his heart is right before God, and that he makes no false pretenses to religion, in vain does he enter this spiritual warfare. This alone can give him confidence. We are to resist every attack as a soldier does in battle. To stand, it demands attention. It puts in opposition. As opposed to turning the back as a coward. As opposed to breaking as a disorderly soldier. That's right. As opposed to rash, impetuous behavior. As opposed to indolent laying down and giving up. Rolling over. Not willing to fight. Keep your ground, one man said. Do not desert the army, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor his cause. Continue in the station in which you are placed. Keep your post. Be upon your watch. Stand upon your guard. Standing, as it says three times, means maintaining our ground. Listen, not yielding or fleeing. Not moving. Standing. It's a military expression. A man may well say to the Christian soldier, as Simon in the ecclesiastical history did to the pillars, which he whipped before the earthquake. He said, stand fast, for you shall be shaken. Now I'm going to tell you what, friend. Stand fast. You're going to be shaken. I never met anybody that did anything for God or served him that wasn't shaken up. Ever. God may bless you abundantly in many areas, and then he may allow you to be shaken in others, to try you, to know what is in your heart. And many times it's a revealer, and I promise you when he reveals it to you, you will not like what you see. When God allows you to be shaken up and he shows who you really are, you will not like what you see. And you'll have to get it right. Daily. We stand fully armed and armored up for the battle, and we do not run from the devil. You see, here's how Satan works. He sends discouragement and doubt. And if you're not careful, you'll run from him. And he'll be whipping you. His power grows stronger when you and I are afraid. Because fear is of the flesh and fear is not faith. And Satan cannot stand against the faith of the saints. So we resist the devil. We stand opposed to him. What happened to Christian in the doubting castle? He had the key all along. How many times have you been stuck in your own mind where Satan's isolated you in your own mind and you're rolling around and you're worried and you got fear and you got doubts and you got problems, you got all these things, and you're in doubting castle and you're living there and you're like, I'll never get out of this. All these things and his past sins and everything else comes up in your mind and you're rolling those sins around in your mind and in your heart and you're being beat up like you're on this punching bag. You're that punching bag? You've done that, right, Garrett? Right? You know what I'm talking about? Adam don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, Adam? All right. I'm just kidding. Adam probably knows. Do you know, Giannis, you ever use one of those punching bags? No, not somebody's head, a bag. We don't use real heads, Lee. Anyway. But that's what Satan does to you. He's got your head. Your head's like a punching bag. And you're just being beat in your mind. And all the time you have the key of faith. All the time it's right there. Right there. And how many times has that happened to you since you've been saved? Well, I can't count it on my two hands, my two feet, or the hairs of my head. How many times I've got allowed myself to get into that place where the devil is just working over my mind. Constantly, daily attacking it. Amen? It happened to me the other day. I just started quoting scripture. He left. He went away. You don't like that. give up no ground. His power grows stronger when we do. Make no treaty with him. Concede not one point of truth or any scripture to that devil. But stand and stand firm. Do not move. It implies a watchfulness, a readiness for combat, keeping our place, both as to our general and particular callings. If soldiers leave their ranks, they endanger themselves. Our loins are girt about with truth. We don't run from him. He runs from us. Amen. With the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, we are well equipped for war against him. It does not say reason with him. It does not say entertain his thoughts of wickedness or debate him. But stand and resist him. Your Lord required that you stand your ground and do not move as a soldier. Jesus fought with the word the same way in Matthew chapter 4. He fought the same exact way. He didn't use any of his power. He used the word of God, which was the power. But he used the Bible. He used the word of God. Amen. And then he fought with all prayer and supplication, which is our example. That's how we fight. Next, we draw nigh to God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. A lot of people say, well, I don't feel like God hears me. Well, have you drawn nigh to God? You've got to draw nigh to him. Approach him in the name of Jesus by faith and prayer, and he will draw nigh to you. He will meet you at your coming. When a soul sets out to seek God, God sets out to meet that soul, so that while we are drawing near to him, he is drawing near to us. That's the delicacy and the beauty of these expressions. If we wish the favor of God, we must come to him. Nor can we hope for his mercy unless we approach him and ask for it. We cannot come literally any nearer to God than we always are, for he is always around about us. But we may come near in a spiritual sense. We may address him directly in prayer. We may approach him by meditation on his character. We may draw near to him in the ordinances. We can never hope for his favor while we prefer to remain at a distance from him. None who in fact draw near to him will find him unwilling to bestow on them the blessings which they need. Seek him. Amen. If you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. Next, he says, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you're going to fight the devil, you sure ain't going to fight him by being double-minded. One foot in the world, one foot in the church. One foot in trust, one foot in fear. What does that mean by purify your hearts? Separate yourselves from the world. He's talking about consecration. You can't make yourself pure. Only Jesus can make you pure. But you can consecrate yourself. God told you to. This is the true notion of sanctification. We've often seen that sanctification signifies to separate a thing or a person from profane or common use. Consecrate to God. Separated unto holiness. That's right. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And to be God's property. And then God hallows it to himself. Separates him from evil ways and evil companions. And devotes himself to God. That God separates guilt from his conscience and sin from his soul. And thus makes him internally and externally holy. Amen. Satan's attacks grow stronger the longer you are saved. And the more you do for God. The Bible says to purify your hearts. That is, do not rest satisfied with a mere external reformation. With putting away your outward transgressions, there must be a deeper work than that. A work which shall reach to the heart and which shall purify the affections. This agrees with all the requisitions of the Bible and is in accordance with what must be the nature of true faith. If the heart is wrong, nothing can be right. If while we seek an external reformation, we still give indulgence to the secret corruptions of the heart, it is clear that we can have no true religion. the apostle talks about that double-mindedness. Those who were facilitating in their purpose, those hearts were not decidedly fixed. My heart is fixed, oh God, my heart is fixed. Is it? Is it fixed? Are you accepting disobedience to God right now as being okay with Him? To His order, to His plan, to His way? When you're double-minded, it means you're not settled and determined in favor of the faith, but vibrated between that and of the world. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to war a good warfare. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. If the world has part of your heart and its ways, and God doesn't have all of it, then you're going to get messed up. If you're trying to apply worldly principles to a Christian life, I've seen that. It ends up in the New Age. I've seen it, watched it. It does. Can't do it. Doesn't work, friend. It doesn't work. And it says, remember, in closing, it says, if you want to fight the devil with all prayer and supplication, you got to pray. Man, you got to pray. That prayer completes the armor. It completes it. Without it, you're not complete. You must pray with all prayer and supplication. And you pray for that boldness so you can be bold. God's people need to pray for boldness in this day. Is it any wonder that the boldness is always what is attacked? Always attacked, because it's what's hated. Look, if you believe some things but you never voice them, people are fine with you. They're okay with that. Satan won't even bother you that much. You can believe whatever you want to as long as you start expressing those beliefs. That's when the problem comes in. That's why you have to pray for boldness. That you can be bold. Amen? Anyway, I hope it helps you. That's how to make the devil flee, and I believe he will if you follow the Bible. If you follow the Word of God, I believe he will. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your Word. We pray, Father, that you'd just help it to sink into our hearts. Help us to obey you in all things. And in all things, you'd have the preeminence, Lord. Help us to humble ourselves, Lord. We make so many mistakes. We sin against you, Lord. We fail you. But your mercy endureth forever, and we thank you for that. Father, help us to be obedient. Help us to stand our ground. Help us to have our armor on. Have the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and pray with all supplication. Please help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.